It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Lavender is really great in your perfume, your bath bombs, maybe even if you're in your ice cream, if you want to get a little freaky at Jenny's. But is it really good to have in your marriage? And that is the question people are wondering after watching the most recent episode or the most recent season of Love is Blind Denver. People are thinking that there is a lavender marriage that is taking place. And I'm bringing my LGBTQ plus correspondent to add some credence to this. So let's bring in Rebecca.
Denial is a river in Egypt. Your husband is gay. That is what I am screaming at the television at the couple Annie and Nick. Who, okay, a lavender marriage is technically a lesbian and a gay man.
Oh, never mind.
Annie is not a lesbian. I can tell you that right now. She is simply a beautiful little chihuahua that Nick wants to keep in his purse. So Nick is a current contestant on Love is Blind Denver. And let me just tell you, there's something weird in the water of Denver, because this is one of the strangest seasons of Love is Blind in I don't know how many seasons.
So we just started a new one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's taking place in Denver.
Uh-huh. And I don't know if it's the altitude or what, but these people are freaky.
Isn't it usually shot in like some beach location so everybody can be mostly naked for rating?
Are you talking about Love Island?
Am I thinking of two different places?
This is Love is Blind. This is the one that they go in the pods.
Yeah, you're right.
And they fall in love while they can't look at each other.
Right.
I'm like, they did one in Atlanta.
Yeah,
it was at Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why I'm bringing this to the table, except to see if I am only the only one just like experiencing psychosis as I watch this episode, because this man, Nick, is very clearly a closeted gay man on Love is Blind looking for a Christian wife to, I guess, conceal his sexuality, alleged. Please don't sue me.
Okay, yeah. As a bisexual woman, you can make these assumptions. If a straight person said that, it's very offensive. So what are you saying? What are the characteristics you're seeing?
So here's what I'm seeing. I am seeing, first of all, I have eyes. This is a gay man. Like, if you look at his mannerisms, if you look at the way he grooms himself, the way, honestly, my boyfriend and I, we closed our eyes to watch the episode to see if we too would think he's straight from across the pod. And he does not have a very, his voice doesn't give like, oh, that's a gay man. But everything else does, including the conversations that he has had with Annie, his partner, now fiance.
All right, I'm going to say what some people, I think, are thinking. No matter how you identify, isn't it out of pocket to question anybody's sexuality?
It absolutely is. And I would never do it, except that he had a conversation with Annie that was very homophobic during the pods.
Okay.
And I think this, it creates a conversation where we can talk about, is this a closeted man who is using his religion to, I guess, fight something that he feels deeply repulsed about? Because that is what I'm seeing, and it's what a lot of people on social media are seeing.
So as I'm looking at him, you know what? I'm going to fight you on this. As I see him, he gives off Blake Eason vibes to me, and it's not like Blake is getting... Never mind.
I was really concerned for a second. I was like, we were all in here for that conversation.
Yeah, I was like, did he forget?
No, I mean, I'll be honest. And maybe I'm like hypersensitive to having a gaydar because I have like a secret fear of like a man using me as his beard. But I was like listening to this conversation and I am interested to hear your perspective, because I'm like, he doesn't give off overtly gay vibes to me. Like if I was going to stereotype someone.
So I have two clips, and the first clip I think is very telling. It was a conversation he started with Annie in the pods before they ever saw each other about raising children.
There was a time in high school that I was pretty depressed and I really wasn't like talking. I was just in my room for a couple days and I hadn't really like like to get out and like talk a lot during that time. So she comes down and is like, Nick, I want to talk to you about something. I'm like, okay, knock on the door, like boundaries. I'm like, come in. You know, she worked around it for a long time. And she's like, do you ever feel like, I'm like, Mom, are you asking me if I'm gay? And she's like, looked at me and I'm like, oh my gosh, no. I'm like, that's hilarious.
I'm just sad.
So that was the wrong clip. That was my bad. That was a clip of him talking to Annie about how in high school, his mom asked him if he was gay. Mm-hmm. I have had a lot of friends have their parents in high school ask them, sit them down in like a serious conversation, are you gay? And guess what? They all are. Moms know. Moms always know.
But the other clip you brought to the table is interesting because they say something I thought I would never hear somebody admit in public, especially on a national show, that they think being a part of the community is a fad.
Mm-hmm. Do we have that, Tommy?
How would you react if at some point your child told you they were LGBTQ+?
Like, no matter what, I'm always going to love my kids. But, like, I can't tell you I would be the first person to be like, yay! You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean.
Like, I'll support my kids, but making sure that they're, like, informed. Like, do you know, like, do you know what you're doing? Like, do you know what you're getting into? Like, do you know what you're signing up for?
Do you feel like it's a fad or something 100%. That's, like, you know, you're like, oh, my friend told me I might be this, and, like,
it's
Shanice said that she's this, so I think I'm this. When kids start having those thoughts, like, too young, and maybe I'm old-fashioned, but it's, like, a concern for me, because who's telling you that?
So that conversation was right before he talked about his mom asking him if he was gay. So now I'll tell you the number one red flag telling me that this man is gay. Do you know what he said? He said, how would you feel if your kid came to you and told you that they were LGBTQ+? A straight man would never say that. A straight man would say gay. A straight man would say LGBT. They're not saying Q+. That's a gay man.
And yeah, okay. Thank you, Rebecca, for bringing in your gay correspondent.
This is my TED Talk.
Rebecca's going to get so booed on our float on Sunday.
The Burt Show.
I am really excited to listen to this. I don't think I've heard it.
I know I haven't.
I don't think I've heard it. So there's some backstory here with Justin Bieber doing his very first radio interview on The Burt Show. Well, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. It was right here.
Well, technically you have heard it because you lived it, but you probably haven't heard it since then.
Yeah.
And it took some doing to find this because in all of our CDs and our VHS tapes and everything, our catalog, it was nowhere to be found. The first part of this, where you're talking to Usher, that does exist on a CD. Why we didn't keep part two, I don't know. But it did. We combed, Katie and I combed and combed YouTube trying to find it. We finally found it from our old head of internet here at Cumulus, Rob Hamilton.
Yeah.
And we went to watch it. And then you know how sometimes it'll throw up the block for like copyrighted material? That's what happened. So I reached out to Rob and he could see it on his end, but I couldn't see it on my end. So he had to screen rip it, send it to me, and that's how we got it.
Is that your way of saying the audio is going to suck?
No, the audio sounds great.
Okay. So here's kind of the backstory on it that's probably not in here. So Scooter Braun was calling me up saying, hey, do you want this kid Justin Bieber on the radio? I think he's going to be a huge star. And I'm like, nobody knows who Justin Bieber is. Dude, I guess can't put anybody on the radio just because you and I are tight, you know? And he's like, I am telling you, man, this kid is going to be big. And I'm like, listeners aren't going to be invested in Justin. They don't even know who he is. Nobody knows who he is. And at that point, a program director would say, like, is this an artist that you really went on? I mean, for ratings, nobody cares about this kid. So Scooter was very aggressive. He's calling me back day in and day out. I'm telling you, man, it's getting a lot of hits on YouTube. You want to have this kid in? No, I don't. He's like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What if I bring you Usher and Justin Bieber comes in with Usher? Because Usher was going to mentor Justin Bieber. And I'm like, okay, well, now we got something here. And it was at a time when Usher was getting divorced. So I asked Scooter over and over again, is Usher willing to talk about the divorce? Because Usher just coming on and introducing this kid, not really interesting for Burt Show listeners. But if he wants to give us some insight in what's going on in his relationship. So Scooter hits me back and goes, No problem. He says he'll talk about his personal life. He'll talk about the divorce. I'm like, well, have him come on in and bring Justin Bieber. Usher gets in here, and because I'm doing this back and forth, and I even remember sending emails to Scooter going like, just so we're clear, Usher is going to talk about the divorce. Yes. I'm like, I'd rather not have him in and it'd be uncomfortable. He's like, don't worry about it. Him, Justin Bieber come in here. One of the things that I start asking Usher about is the divorce. And he says, I don't really feel like talking about that. That's my personal life. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm not here to talk about that. So Scooter's in the back of the room. And I'm like, well, that is not the arrangement that Scooter and I made. So it got tense. And then after the interview with Justin Bieber here, Scooter and I are in the halls with Usher. And all three of us are having this tense conversation. Because, look, Scooter was going to do whatever he had to do to get Justin Bieber on the radio. So good for him. And that's why he's become, you know, Scooter Braun and Justin Bieber. So that was the very first time we ever had him on, right? So I haven't heard this. I don't remember how we got into it. I think we're introducing Usher. Is that right?
Well, at this point, we had talked to Usher for one entire segment, and this is the second segment where you're specifically focusing on Justin. And you do hear some Usher piping in, but this is when you introduce Justin to the world.
And I think this is part of the interview that ended up in the Justin Bieber movie. Mm-hmm. Right? Never Say Never?
Yep.
So if you watch that movie, I've got about a second and a half of Justin Bieber in studio. But this is Justin Bieber's very first radio interview in the world. Justin is living here in Atlanta now. And Usher heard this and saw how many hits he was getting on YouTube. And Usher said, okay, this is a kid that I need to get involved with immediately. And I was just telling to Justin, you hit the Usher lottery.
Yeah.
When this definitely. Dude decided to back you, you hit the lottery.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Definitely. So how does it all start?
Well, it actually started about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I entered a singing competition, and my friends and family that couldn't make it wanted to see me. So my mother and I posted videos on YouTube for my friends and family. And it just happened that other people started liking it and viewing it and subscribing. And pretty soon I hit the million mark, and then I posted more videos.
You know what happens. You just put a video online.
And then I started posting more videos and more videos. And then it got getting more crazy. And then Scooter Braun, my manager, found me on YouTube, flew me out to Atlanta.
Scooter, how long you been looking for little boys on the internet?
Whoa. You owe him one, Scoot.
We're not beat red
over here.
All right, so Scooter finds you on the internet.
It flies me out to Atlana, where I almost missed Usher. Tell him.
Okay.
Well, he almost missed me. He came to the studio. Scooter brought him Jermaine's. Yeah, we had Jermaine's studio. And he's like, man, I sing your songs. You want to hear one? I'm like, you should come in, little buddy. It's cold out here. You know what I mean?
So we
come in.
He meets all these people every day and wanted to sing for him. So.
Did you know who he was?
No.
At the time?
No, I didn't know who he was.
Oh, okay. So Scooter was telling you, look, I got a meeting set up with Usher right now. No problem.
No, it was actually, you know, to be honest, it was a little odd for me.
Yeah?
I knew he was probably there meeting with Jermaine, mm-hmm. so I didn't want to block. So I just was like, see, I never told y'all this. You guys weren't cool. So dig, anyway. So he came.
Were they just like, is this kind of like Little Orphan Annie stuff where like Justin's in the car and Scooter and you pull up? He's like, go get him, go, Justin, go.
No, actually, as I'm walking out. I'm sorry. As I was walking in, he was walking out.
Okay.
And he wanted to sing. So I was like, okay, well. You'll get a chance to sing. I mean, just come on inside. This is cold. But I was really late for a session, so I was like, we talked a little bit. I was like, okay, cool, man. Well, congratulations. I knew Scooter. And, you know, me and Scooter, we had our little conversation really quick. I said, you know, you should hook it up so I can, you know, see him in a proper setting. And
you're like, this is a proper setting for me.
I'll do it right now. I'm like, well, listen, if it's meant to be, then it'll happen again. And it happened again, luckily.
He flew me back out to Atlanta where I got to meet him again and sing for him. And actually, the video's on YouTube. It has a million or so views.
Okay. Now we get it.
Yeah, we get it.
Now you're okay. Ours so, don't, yours do. We get it.
Okay. So I met Usher. I sang You Got It Bad to him. So it was cool. And then a week later, I ended up a meeting with Justin Timberlake, who also wanted to sign me. So
okay, see, the kid at 15 years old already understands the word leverage. See, if you got if you got two people competing for your services.
It's like a bidding war.
A bidding war. It's way better than just have one, right?
Yeah.
Well, we missed something here because...
We pulled out the big check now.
I know, that's what it came down to. So we're missing something here. So you go on your way and you don't sing for Usher that day, and then he brings you back out to Atlanta. What happened in that time for Usher to go, okay, this is something
He ended up... He watched my videos on YouTube.
I became one of the million.
Okay. Yeah. You got a hit.
One million.
Okay.
So it wasn't 999,999. And then he made 1 million. And you say that you love her and you really know everything used to matter, don't matter no more. Like my money or the car, you can have it all. And flowers, cars, and candy. Said I'm fortunate that I have you, girl. And I want you to know that I really adore you.
Sing with them. Sing with them.
Sing with them. Like I should just stand next to my
I want to hear you do a little of it together.
Have you guys started as a duet yet?
Yeah, actually, we talked about working on the album. You guys got to stay tuned. We might do something real special.
Give us 30 seconds of you guys singing it together, right?
No, no,
come
no.
On. You got to give me something.
We're going to keep you in suspense. You guys don't come. You guys wait for the album. We're actually working on this album in Atlanta. We've been working on it in New York, Los Angeles, Atlanta. And we do plan on doing something real, real special for you guys. And this is his debut album called My World. And it'll be out this fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually single.
That's good. You're not married.
I'm not married.
Good, good.
I'm single. Yeah, and...
Stay single.
Yeah. Single and ready to mingle.
Boy, you have been hanging out with Usher. Hey, I want to play this song one time for you guys.
Yeah.
Now, is this being played anywhere else in the country right now?
Yeah, it's playing all over. Yeah, a lot in Canada and a lot up north and a lot in America.
Okay, so there's got to be something here, obviously. He's getting 38 million hits on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even got into the whole Usher-Justin Timberlake sort of... You know, jockeying
battle
for your service, which we'll get to in a second. But I want you guys to hear this. This is Justin Bieber. Now he's in Atlanta, and the name of the song is called One Time.
One Time.
When you hear your music on the radio right now, what's going through your head?
I just turn it down.
Turn it down?
Really?
Why?
It's just weird. To hear myself on the radio, I like to hear it when it, like, first is done and then I crank it. But then, like, yeah, it's just weird.
When did you finally get used to hearing your own music on the radio?
I still am not used to hearing my own music yet.
What do you do when it comes on? Do you, like...
I'm like, man, this is a nice song. Who is this?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Are you really?
I start calling and requesting it.
Tell us about this whole thing between this Justin Timberlake thing. He gets a hold of Justin Bieber here.
You know what? there were a few people who had been introduced to Justin, and Justin Timberlake was one of the many people. There's other celebrities who were interested in it as well, but Justin, I guess he flew him out to Los Angeles. And you guys hung out, played guitar together. What else did you guys do?
We watched March Madness.
Yeah. Yeah, so they really put in the work. They was really trying to go hard on me.
This
man
is like being a recruit
March
for
Madness.
Like
and it was his birthday weekend. I'm like, cool, all right, okay, all right. I got something for that. We're going to Andretti's, you know?
Yeah. And we did go to Andretti's, too.
And I beat him.
Did you?
They gave him the faster car. It was not fair.
You know he paid him off.
This is Usher. Let's soup his car up a little bit.
Listen, just, I mean, until you got a couple albums under your belt, always let Usher win.
Yeah, just go with that kid.
So Justin Timberlake is jockeying for the kid, and then at the end of the day, what do you do for him to be convinced that you're the guy?
You know what? I had a really, really great heart-to-heart with Scooter about his future, and just made a promise that I would definitely, you know, give it my all, and I felt like it was a project that, you know, was heaven sent. I felt like it was something that I wanted to be associated with. And long term, I really felt like I had all of what it would take to help to nurture him and make him the artist that he's going to become. You know, hopefully this first album will definitely, it'll give, you know, the little girl something else to look at other than the Jonas Brothers.
You right. You look at them like they're your competition. You're like, oh, man, I'm so much better than those dudes.
No, I don't really think about that. But I think about, like...
Competition.
Competition.
What?
What is competition? What does that mean?
Right. Like,
that's not even my vocabulary.
Winner and loser. I stand on the W side.
Has Disney even come calling yet, saying, this is a kid we got to have?
Yeah, it actually has been conversation. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd endorse for him, you think?
Well, I mean, I definitely think that those are all outlets that, I mean, he should exist in. I mean, but being well-rounded is what it's all about. Young 15-year-old, you know, he would definitely work on Disney, would work on MTV, would work on, you know, Much Music up in Canada, all of them.
Yeah, I bet you say, you get up every morning, look in the mirror and say, I'm the next big thing.
Well, you got to have talent, too.
Hey, man, if you don't believe in nobody else,
right.
Will.
Hey.
I've been saying that in the mirror for 25 years now.
Bert's been saying that for the last how many years? I'm really the big thing.
It's still not
happening. Usher does. He looks in the mirror, looks at his abs, and he's like... Yeah, man.
Hey, can you do, Justin, can you do, have you been around Usher enough that you can do like an Usher impersonation?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, man.
All right, y'all. Thanks for coming in studio. Good luck, Justin, Usher. All right,
always,
man. Thanks
Bert.
For coming
Thank
in.
You, man. Thank you so much.
The Bert Show.
All right, so that was from back in the day. Wow, there's a lot to unpack there, man.
That teeny tiny Bieber voice.
But he had an attitude.
Oh, single and ready to mingle,
I'm
baby.
Telling you, he still had that attitude. He has always been a really, really solid kid. You know, as I look back at his career, and he and I will message each other back and forth from time to time. I'm still so invested in him. But to watch him over the years and... Imagine living your life as one of the biggest stars in the world and everybody knows who you are. So you're going through your regular 16, 17 year old self, you know, where you're a little on the rebellious side, but the entire world is watching that and judging you and commenting on it. And it's no, it's, I mean, of course you're going to spiral. You know, he had those years where he spiraled like that. And we talked to him throughout all of those years. Kristen and I had one of the best interviews, I think, that we've ever had together with Justin because he was so honest with us.
Yeah, he was, we went to his hotel, had a sit down interview with him, and for like 30 minutes just hung out and talked with him. And he was open, he was funny. The thing I remember about that interview had nothing to do with the actual conversation we had. It's when he walked into the room, he went around and shook every single person's hand, thanked them for being there. Tommy was the one that had all the, he went around to every single person, introduced himself, and said, thank you for being here.
Wow.
Yeah. It was impressive.
We had an interesting debate earlier this morning, you know, knowing now the circles that he was running in at 15 and 16 years old. You're with Usher, who again is one of the biggest and most influential artists in the world. And as a 15-year-old, you're like, wherever he goes, I'm going. I'm going to shadow him. And then he ends up in these very adult atmospheres over at Diddy's place. Who knows what he's seen and what he hasn't seen. But... And I've never had talks with him about this, but I wonder what he's seen, and I wonder if he could have rewound, right, all the way back to then, if he's thought about what his life would look like if he went Justin Timberlake. Because I mean, who knows the experience that he had?
Yeah, I mean, and he's a super talented kid, but it also makes you wonder, you know, how many of those hits were a product of the people that Usher introduced him to? Like, I remember, like, listen, I'm a part of the generation that was like, oh my God, I'm going to be Mrs. Bieber. We were singing One Time and One Less Lonely Girl and all of those songs. So it makes you wonder how his style would change if he would have the same hits, and maybe we wouldn't know him as the Justin Bieber that we know today.
So now is a good time, Cassie, again, to remind people that we have figured it out. We went through the lawyers, and now there is going to be a Bert Show Retro podcast.
Yes, starting October 27th, which is the first day the Bert Show is off the air. You're going to get to relive the highlights from the past 25 years on the main Bert Show podcast feed. If you listen in the app is going away, but so you need to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, and we will be releasing highlights, and then coming soon we'll have details about a special fan community. We'll be launching with extra content and fun stuff like that.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Before we talk to Jackson here about messing up his engagement, explain something to me that you and I both witnessed yesterday, Kristen.
You and I?
Uh-huh. And let's keep names out of it. How does a newborn get written up at their, it's not even preschool. What the hell is it?
It's a daycare.
It's a daycare, right? How old is she?
She's like 9 months, 10 months.
So she got written up at 10 months old for pooping herself too many times.
She had four blowouts.
She had four blowouts.
Who were we talking about?
We're not going to name names.
Yeah. So
the baby remains anonymous, but she had four blowouts and they actually wrote her up and there was a document that needed to be signed about said blowout.
Signed like, because Pooparella pooped too much?
Yep.
What are you supposed to do as a parent, like to make sure that your kid isn't having blowouts?
You just start lacing their breast milk with Imodium.
It seemed silly to me, but
I think, okay, so what I was trying to gather from the conversation, because it was odd, and I think we're conflating stuff. I don't think she was written up. I think they had to document the fact that she had four blowouts in one day, because that's a lot of feces.
Is it?
Yes.
Like, is it like a child protective services thing if they have six?
No, but for a 10-month-old, but she's teething, and with teething comes diarrhea, mm-hmm. comes blowouts. It's just, you know, they also spike fevers, et cetera. If you have a kid, had, you know, and gone through that phase, you understand. So I think they just needed documentation
okay.
that she had blown it out four times in one day.
Okay. Then, all right. So the way it was presented was yes. that my kid got in trouble and got written up, which the mother was very impressed with. Yeah. Very impressed with her child.
Oh, I would frame that and be like, yeah. oh, your first write-up. I'm so proud of you and your four blowouts. And let me just say, I've witnessed this child's blowout before, and I understand why the daycare wrote her up.
Are some blowouts just... Some have more of a talent than others.
Oh, you have. And this one's got a talent.
It's special.
She doesn't say it. She sprays it. And it is impressive.
Now I know why she got written up.
Yup.
All right, Jackson. You're ready to get engaged, but not ready to be engaged.
Before he starts this segment, you might want to motivate him by dangling the Heath bar in front of his face to remind him what he gets if he does a good job in this segment.
You missed it.
Oh, there you go.
I already did it.
Yeah, he already did it.
It doesn't take much for me, honestly. So while the show is coming to a close, October 24th, more importantly, that is also the day of my planned engagement. And it has been a bit stressful planning this thing. I think I underestimated the effort and the work that would go into such an event.
Would be it's a great final ratings winner if you did it right here in studio.
Don't do that.
Wow, she would hate that.
Yeah. Then let's do it.
And so I've been, you know, bending over backwards trying to figure out all the logistics of this entire thing. So I've got the, I say venue, but it's literally just in my apartment. There's a lounge area rooftop that I have rented out for the evening. I have an after party scheduled. We've got food getting scheduled right now, which is kind of in the works. We've got cake. We've got my balloon guys got us balloons for the whole thing. All the pieces are slowly starting to come together. Flights have been booked for friends and family who are coming into town for this occasion to surprise her after the proposal itself. But there's one or two-ish last pieces of the day of plan that I need to hash out with you guys because it's freaking me out.
Can I ask a question of the listeners? Not to freak you out, and I don't think we're going to get any calls on this, but who organized a very big, a grand proposal in front of a lot of people, friends, family, and ended up saying no? In front of everybody.
Really?
I'm just asking. 1-855-BIRCHA. I'm sure we're not going to get any calls.
We just want to prepare
you.
You know.
Okay.
Prepare for the worst. And, you know, fortunately, working for this show, it's prepared me a lot for expecting the unexpected and knowing that not everything can always go according to plan the day of. So I'm going to try not to stress myself out too much about stuff like that. But I'm more worried about some of the logistics of how I'm going to go about the proposal itself. And so what I mean by that is my sister is going to be on standby to prepare the apartment with things inside. I am wondering, how do I get myself and my girlfriend out of the apartment and then back into the apartment? What is the proper excuse for that? Because we talked about this a little bit on the Personality Hires podcast and some ideas were thrown out, but I didn't feel like we settled on anything officially.
How about this one? Do an Instacart delivery or Uber Eats. Go outside to get it. Forget your keys and have her come to get you.
Is that going to give my sister enough time to prep everything? Because we're going to go from a clean, empty apartment to everything set up and basically decorated.
How long do you need?
I would say 20 minutes.
No.
20 minutes.
No.
A half hour?
Yeah. You need at least an hour.
An hour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you go get dinner? Can you just say, let's go grab a drink, babe?
Just would that be out of the ordinary for you guys?
Just to go walk down the street and grab a drink is a little out of the ordinary. We would usually have be going somewhere.
But the whole point is, okay, we're going to grab a drink here and then we're going to get dinner somewhere else. And between the drink and the dinner, go, oh my God, I can't believe it. I forgot my blah, 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 blah. You go back to the apartment and boom, instead of going to dinner, you propose.
What is the thing that I forgot that is so important that I didn't have at drinks that I would need to go back for?
Your dignity.
Okay, so would it be weird for you to come home and be like, I literally had the worst day? Like, it's just everything has gone wrong today. Everything with the show, with Pioneer. Can we just go? I need to get out of here. Can we just go grab a drink? Like, would that be that out of the ordinary to pretend that you've had a bad day? I mean, one of us could even stage calling you and screaming at you through the phone. Although we never do that, so that actually might put her onto something.
But Abby should do that as your boss of the podcast.
Of the Personality Hires.
The thing is, if I were to have a day like that, I would be like, can we just order food in, grab
drinks? Why do you have to be so boring?
It's just like, that's just the way that it would go. Although I think that maybe we could stage something because the show ends that day of saying that, you know, maybe there's a show thing that evening and we should go grab drinks beforehand to sort of pregame the thing.
Or, hey, the show just ended. All of my friends that I do this podcast with are going to go binge drink down the street. Yep. Do you want to come with real quick? Oh, we're done drinking. Let's go back to the apartment. Oh, here's a proposal.
Actually, so combine the two. I like the show's ending. We're all going to go do something. Let's get a drink beforehand. And then you're like, just got a text from Cassie or Kristen. Apparently, this is fancy. So we got to go home and change real quick because I can't wear sneakers.
She's going to need to be changed and dressed up.
How about you do this? Mm. All right, because Mikey lives near you, right?
Yes.
All right, so what if you tell her that, yes, there is a gathering that night after the last show, right? You go to Mikey's to pregame, and then you tell her, and you just go there for 30 minutes or whatever, and then you're like, oh, shoot, I left Bert's retirement gift back at the apartment. Ooh. And that could be, the reason why you have to go back. And so you guys go back to get that, and then you're going to leave from there and go meet everybody for dinner.
I like that. Okay. I like that a lot.
Because I feel like that's because, what could you leave? I feel like that's a very believable thing. Hey, I got something special for Bert. We're all going to have dinner together October 20th. And so make it about the entire Bert show, the last day. It's a last supper for all of us. You go to Mikey's to pregame, get him in on it. Hopefully he doesn't ruin it. And then you guys run back to the apartment to grab Bert's gift before
there
you head
is.
Out. Now you got to get him a gift. No, I'm just kidding.
That's perfect also because then that gives us both a reason to dress up a little bit because we'll say we're going to a very nice dinner.
Yep, yep, yep.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You need a good lie. You come right here to the Bert Show, okay?
It's not a lie. It's a new truth.
Right. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Ozzy Osbourne's son is talking about what his final show meant to his family. But before we get into that, we have pressing news, of course, about none other than the new Taylor Swift album. Because a new episode of the New Heights podcast just dropped today, where the Barbara Walters of our generation, Jason Kelce, decided to ask the hard-hitting questions to Travis about some of the songs that have been written about him on Taylor's new album. And one of them that has been catching a lot of headlines is a song called Wood. You can fill in the blanks as to what that song is about based off of the title. And so Jason said, how did it feel to hear Taylor describe in explicit terms about your wood?
Wood, great, great soundtrack. How do you feel about Wood? Let's ask this. How do you feel about Wood?
It's a great song.
It's a great song. Yeah. Do you feel like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Do you feel cocky? Do you feel cocky about the song Wood?
No. Any song that she that's references
not just,
me
that's
in
not just any very, song. This is a very specific you.
I love that girl. So what do you mean? Any song that she would reference me in any way?
Well, it's not just you, though. It's an appendage. It's not just you as a...
What?
It's a very specific thing.
I think you're not understanding the song.
You're out of your mind. Jesus Christ, Travis, come on. Redwood Tree, Ain't Hard to See. I thought Redwood was a little bit... That's a generous word, I think. I think if somebody wrote a song about me, it'd be like, Japanese maple, sometimes can see.
Japanese maple.
I have more of an ornamental tree. My is more of an ornamental bush.
All right. So what I want to know is that song is out. Everybody's listening to it. We know what it's about. Duh. So the first time she's in that Chiefs like suite, in that Chiefs box, watching Travis play, and her future mother-in-law walks in, mm-hmm. and she has a conversation with her. And of course, her mother-in-law, being the supportive mother-in-law that she is, has listened to The Life of a Showgirl multiple times and has listened to the woman that's going to marry her son talk about her son's pee-pee. So I want to know how that conversation goes.
I don't feel like you can use the word pee-pee when your son is like 35 and built like a tree and bearded.
Well, I have to do that on the radio, Cassie.
Okay, fine.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That song is about the beautiful Muir Woods in San Francisco.
Yeah, of course.
The
is.
Redwood Forest.
The Redwood Forest. And she just went there and she was transformed by it. She said she was amatized by it. Yeah. She was like, ah, trees.
She's talking about his sequoia.
I'm weirdly a little bit proud. I don't want to know any more details and I will never listen to the song again. But you just told the world that my son is A-plus material. I am checking that box and I'm proud.
Well, let's ask. Kristen, you've got a son. So let's
stop.
Let's fast forward many, many, many years where he falls in love with an A-list artist who is now describing how endowed he is as a mother. Is there any sense of you that's proud of that?
I'm not going to fast forward to anything past October 24th, sorry.
I have a son, and I named him just for this instant, Max Wood. So, ding, 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 ding.
That's right.
I know.
He better be.
I'm like, how can you make fun of that on the playground? Oh, no, you're going to make pee-pee. But still, yeah, I'm proud. And then I never want to talk about it or think about it ever again because that's gross and weird. But good job, babe.
Well, let's go down gross and weird for a second because you are setting him up for disappointment. If he is not, indeed, Max Wood.
I guess you'll
have... When he hooks up with a woman, he could be sued.
I guess you'll have to wait for Jen Alpha's version of Taylor Swift to write an album about it.
For false advertisement?
Yes, Max Wood. There's supposed to be more than
that. That's why we call him Maximilian. That is his full name, all right? And there were very few names that Chad and I agreed on, and at least it was better than the female name I wanted to give him, which was Ophelia.
Oh, really?
Ophelia Wood.
Oh, yep. No.
Yeah. No. I mean, when I came out, this is when I thought he was a girl. I think I told the story. I was so proud. I was laying in bed and I get out of bed and it was back in my house. We have this like the master suite is on the upper floor and has like a landing overlooking the living room where Chad was watching TV. And I go, Chad, I have our daughter's name. I was so happy. I figured it out. It is a gorgeous classic name. Ophelia. And he looks at me and I go, Ophelia Wood. And I go, oh no, we can't use that. No.
You were the original Easter egg. And considering your hair is borderline orange, I feel like you really were the inspiration.
Yes, he's a redwood. He is the redwood.
Is that a compliment that your hair is borderline orange?
I mean, it is orange. So I can't really argue with it. Whether or not it's a compliment, that's yet to be figured out.
You have beautiful orange hair. And every time I look at it, I will think of
Ronald Wood. McDonald.
Yep. All right, well, thank God we can't get to this Osborne story because that would have been a weird pivot. So for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.